they present to us the Christmas story. In the next few weeks, everybody will be crazy about Christmas. You know, people will be rushing to the shop and everything will be about Christmas. So what is the Christmas story? The Christmas story is about a loving God, not an angry God. Somehow this world has portrayed God as very unkind and angry, with an accusing hand pointing towards them. But the Christmas story is based on a caring God, a loving God, a good God who give us His only Son, not what He don't want. Some people may give things that they don't want. They want to discard, but not God. When He give His only Son, His beloved Son, whose name is Jesus, to come into this world. The Bible said that the Word became flesh, that He came into human life. He came into this world and He dwelt among us. One of the apostles who had walked with Jesus Christ by the name of John, he said this: we have heard Him, we have seen Him, we have touched Him. What a powerful! He did not come in the spirit, He came in the human flesh so that He can experience the human pain, the human suffering, the human struggle. But yet the Bible tells that Jesus that came, though He came as a man, but He was sinless all the way. God did not send His Son to judge or to condemn the world. He sent His Son to give life, to give His kind of life, to give abundant and fullness of life flowing from a God who has a heart of love for humanity, to a world that is dying and lost in need of life and hope. I like the way how John 3:16 put it: for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He did not send Him to judge or to condemn the world. He sent Him so that we who are lost, we who are without hope, we who are going to a place of destruction, can believe in Him and have everlasting life. What is the Christmas story? The Christmas story is about God, the all-powerful God, the creator of this earth, of this universe, the all-powerful God that has no limitation. No one can challenge Him. The all-powerful God who sent His Son into this world so that He sent Him to live and to die on the cross. Why did He do it? So that the power of Satan, the power of darkness, the power of curse and death on humanity can be canceled and destroyed. The Bible said this: but the Son of God came to destroy the work of the devil. He did not come in glory or power. He came in humanity. He came in simplicity. He came for all men and women, the high and low, the rich and poor, those that have and have not. He came so easily and so freely that you and I can receive Him so easily and so freely. He came to destroy the work of Satan so that the blessing promised to Abraham can come to us. The blessing promised to Abraham is blessing with you, blessing for you, and blessing in you. And God came and sent His Son Jesus to destroy the power of Satan so that He can bless you, empower you, protect you. He sent His Son Jesus, the best gift, the only gift that humanity needs, the greatest gift, and the most needed gift for lost man and woman created in His image. How did He send Him? He sent Him through a virgin birth. something that the world will never experience again. Something never heard before and never will happen again. Only once in human history and in world history. And it can never be repeated again, that a child was born of a virgin. On the night that when he sent him, it was not like any other night. It was a special night with great excitement in heaven. The Bible tells the angel announced the good news to the shepherd watching the flock. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which you will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And the angel rejoiced and praised and said, glory to God in the highest. The shepherd went and they found Mary, Joseph, and the baby. I want you to know, the night that Jesus was born, not only the shepherd came from near, but God prepared the wise men from distant country, from a far place, that look at the star, that study the star, and saw a star that is so different. And it's the star of David, the star of hope. And they follow the star, not for days, not for weeks, but for months. They follow the star so that they could come and find this Jesus who is born to be the Savior of the world. They came, they found Jesus, and they brought with him three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He always puzzled me, why did they came to Jesus and brought a gift? A gift not for a baby. What would a baby do with gold? What will a baby do with frankincense? What will a baby do with myrrh? How many of you ever go on the first day of a baby and bring a present? You want to bring a boot for the feet. You don't want to bring one of this size to the baby. How long do you want to wait for the baby to be able to wear? So everything that was brought to the baby was something that the baby could not use. And it's always passing me, God, why do they bring all these things that the baby could not use? But I'm telling you, the story of the wise men bring those gifts is the powerful story of how God wants to bless you. After all, he sent Jesus Christ into this world so that he can destroy the world of Satan, so that the blessing promised to Abraham can come to us. So how does God bless you? I look at this story. I want to give you three keys. God used people to bless you. Would you imagine that God will use the wise men from the east, people who you do not know, who Jesus do not know? You know, God will use people to bless you. It's not going to be things that drop from heaven. It's going to come from people. People that you do not know, people who do not like you. How do you like it? People who do not like you that God can use to bless you. People who you do not know. Look at Jesus. The wise men, they were not Jews, they were not Christian, they were people who studied the star. Yet God can use them to bring gold and frankincense and myrrh to Jesus Christ. At the time when Jesus was born, King Herod was the king. He was rich, he was influential, he was powerful, but God did not use him, even though he asked, where is he? How about the religious teacher? They were learned with knowledge and substance, yet God did not use them. I'm sure that in the time when Jesus was born, there must be many rich Jews there, but God did not use them. Who did God use? God used someone
who is unknown to Jesus or his family, he used the wise man. And I tell you, when God uses people who you do not know to bless you, it is called what? It is called a miracle. And many times when we talk about blessing, we think in terms of money. Oh, if I have a lot of money, then I'm blessed. But I'm telling you, in God's economy, blessing means a good well-being. That means you get good health. You know, not just material. Having a sound mind is a blessing. Having a good health is a blessing. Able to walk and eat is a blessing. You see, we dictate blessing to what we can see in our hand, money in our hand, gold in our hand. But blessing is more than that. And so God used people to bless you. I want you to believe. I want you to believe when it happened from the most unexpected people, then you know it is a miracle. You are sick, and the doctor who you do not know come out with the answer. It is called a what? A blessing. You are going to buy something, and you go to Good Guy, and you walk in, and all of a sudden, the things that you're going to buy drop by 50%. It's called what? A blessing. But many of us don't think in terms of that. We think that blessing had to be something to do with money. If I have a lot, means I'm blessed. But the Bible tells us that God used people to bless us. And sometimes it's the most unexpected people. And you want to experience the blessing of God, then let me tell you one thing. Make friends with people. Don't be selective. Open your hearts and open your head and start to see how God can use people to bless you. The second thing I see is God overrides system with bad God. Could you imagine the star guide the wise man to Jesus? The star. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 says, God works all things according to the counsel of his will. That God has the ability to do something and use something beyond our thoughts and beyond our imagination. That God could use a star, the creator of heaven and the earth and the universe, could move a star, a bright shining star, so that the wise man could see and follow him. I want you to know, God can override anything that moves the mountains, open the Red Sea. He can stop the sun and the moon. He can even move the shadow backward. He can do anything. And he can override system and garment and difficulties and problems so that he can reach out and meet your need. That God is able to override everything because he has the ability and the power to intervene into human pain and to human life. You see, you need to wait for bad God. The bad God moments in your life. I tell you, human mind do not change. Human heart do not change. People can be prejudiced. People can be against you. But you have God who is on your side. And you need to believe that God is able to override all this obstacle, all this impossibility, all this God I don't understand. And see God step in, override mountains, override every no. How many of you have faced no, no, no in your life? God is able to override all these things, even override the most impossible situation to release blessing into your life. Wait and believe for your bad God moment. The third thing about blessing, how God bless you, is that God cares about your tomorrow. You know, sometimes because of tomorrow, we worry ourselves to what? Not to happiness. We worry ourselves to what? To death. Some of us have a lot of white hair because we worry too much about what? Tomorrow. You know? And here you find that when they came to Jesus, they brought the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And I always ask myself, why bring this gift to the baby? Let me tell you why. Joseph had a dream. And the dream was this: do not go back to Bethlehem. Do not go back from where you come from. Go to where? Go to Egypt. King Herod wanted to kill the baby. And with this dream, he fled to Egypt. Over in Egypt, he has no friend, no relative, no connection. His route is not from there. He is not there on holiday. It's all right to go there on holiday. And when you go on holiday, you always bring money with you and things with you so that you can spend. He's not there on holiday. He's not there for a few days or a few weeks. He is there for years until King Herod died. I don't know how long he has to wait for that man to die. And I'm telling you, when he is there, he needs money to what? To live. You know, when you go on holiday, $50, the minute you break the $50, it just fly away. How many of you realize that? Then you take on half $50, it break away. That's why I like to go to a holiday when the Australian dollar, you convert $1 become few thousand. Jesus. And you have them in Egypt where they need money to survive. You can't go to McDonald's and smile and they give you a free Mac. You need to pay for it unless you want to wash plate after that. You know, and they go to a place where they have no money, and what happened? Well, God provide beforehand. He provide them with the gold, with the frankincense, and the myrrh. Who can give gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Only rich people can give. And so it was given to them so that they are able to use it when they were in Egypt. I want you to know that our God is a great provider. He is a knowledgeable provider. He knows what you need even before you know that. And He is also a generous provider. And He will provide for you. So I want you to trust God that when God says, I will bless you, means He will take care of your tomorrow. That you can believe in the generosity of God. And you don't have to worry yourself to death, worry to your head turn white. You don't have to figure out how to meet end, because all your problem is not your problem. It is God's problem. How do you like that? All your needs is in His hand. What do you have to do? My advice to you, sleep and sleep well. If you have to snore, go ahead. And wake up each morning to His new providence, His new protection, and His new presence, because you are His child. Say amen. You are not a stranger. You are not an orphan. You are His child. And if you are His child, He promised that He will watch over you, provide for you. I like the psalmist. This is what he said. David, when he was old, once I was young, I have been there before. How many of you have been there before? Once I was young. And now I am old. What a way to admit yourself. And now I am old. Yet I have never seen the godly abandoned, all their children begging for bread. This is the promise that God has given to us, that when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to remove and destroy the work of Satan, to give you forgiveness, to give you eternal life, and also to be your provider. This is a verse that you can stand on. Never were your children, were your grandchildren, were your great-grandchildren bed for bread. The Christmas story is such a powerful story to remind us God loves us. He is not against us. He does not hate us. He does not come with a finger pointing at us. The world thinks so. But you, who will just look at his face is never an angry face. His face is always one of love, one of mercy, one of kindness, looking at you, saying to you, why reject me when you not even have tried me? Is it possible? Is it possible that people reject even before they try? Is God destroying the work of Satan so that he can bring blessing into your life? And how is he going to do it? He will use people to bless you. People you know, people you do not know. And how is he going to do it? He will override all things. Override all things according to his purpose and wisdom. And he will take care of your tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, it's a brand new day to experience the God who loves you with an everlasting love, who said, I will move mountains for you. So what are you going to do? Don't worry, be happy. That's what you should do. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Christmas story presented by the children, so wonderfully done, in the simplicity of their heart. One thing about children, they are not complicated. They tell you what is in their heart. They are innocent and honest. And so they present a Christmas story of what it's all about. It's about God who loves you. Love us, even though we are undeserving. Love us, just as we are. He never put condition attached to his love. He just said, I love you just as you are. I love you, and I believe that I can make something beautiful in your life. That is God. He stepped in and made something beautiful out of your life. You see ashes, God see new beginning. You see ruin, God see new restart. You see impossibility, God see possibility. You see hopelessness, God see hope. This is the Christmas story. God has stepped into human life. The Word became flesh and dwell among us. I pray every believer here, may this season of Christmas capture your heart, not religiously, but relationally, to a God who says, I love you, and I always will love you. When you doubt, I still love you. When you blew it, I still love you. We'll just stand up and sing this song with me as we lift our hands to Him. Jesus. You are